CliffCentral.com.
All she needed was some.
Welcome to the worst, guys.
Wake up.
Yeah, out with Mark and Julian Riabetusicele.
None other than the worst guys. Had a clip of game on the court side. Watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5. They mad at me too, I got more fire. Why these bitches see you? Go home, Roger.
Go home, Roger.
Just go home.
Let it play out.
Go home, connect to the Wi-Fi and stream us live.
Yeah, go home, Roger. We're not even going to let it play out. There's so much to talk about today, man. I'm feeling so great. It's a Wednesday afternoon, and you know the worst guys are doing it in the worst way. Welcome.
Hey, now I can't say that in the rap today, because you already said it. Goodness gracious me.
I feel like we should eliminate the phrase the worst guys from our raps and see what happens from here on out.
Maybe we must make penalties. Fine.
Forever
says worst guys. In the worst guys cipher, you're fine. Our guests.
Yeah, if you say the worst guys, chilling with the worst guys. What the heck? We know who we're chilling with. We made it all the way to the end of the cipher. So come on. All right. That's just for us over there. I hope you're having a really good day, man. The sun is out. We're experiencing the last few days of summer. If you think about it, in fact, technically speaking, it's autumn now, because it is the 1st of March, so that's a change of season. But I still felt the heat today, which is good. I really hate being cold, man, so I'm really worried about the winter, and I think this climate change is not helping us at all. It's real out here.
Listen, you have been going on about climate change, what? Talking like a private school gent, like you know this.
No,
did you even take geography in high school?
I didn't, but I
so now what do you know about climate change?
I know enough to know.
You feel like you want to drop bars, and then I'm like, okay, what can I... Climate change. Let me talk about climate change.
I know enough to know that climate change is a real thing. This is not something I made up in my head, in my imagination. Do you not feel the difference in temperature and weather and just the cycles in which it goes? It's not as it used to be.
Yes, because the world is evolving as we evolve as well. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
it's about time South Africa also gets a white Christmas. Let's get that white Christmas on. You know
what I'm saying?
Bring the snow our way now. It's time for us to have the snow.
Okay,
America been done with the snow, you know?
Africa's time to shine.
Yes, Africa's time to shine. Now God is going to make it snow. America's gonna burn in December.
Yeah. Okay.
See, now
I completely get that side of it. Maybe the world is just like, Arachin Chucky. They just change things up a little bit. Those guys, they've been feeling the heat in Africa.
Hey, bro.
Hey, dog, I've had enough.
You know, now people are gonna buy less skin lighteners, niggas out there. Because we're going to get winter, that's going to be mull.
Yeah.
Also going to be yellow bones all around.
No need to bleach your skin anymore, guys. So that's
what do you think about doing that? Would you?
Bleaching my skin. Dog, I love my black skin, dog. I love it so much. I would never do anything to change it, bruh.
Yeah.
And I don't understand people who do want to bleach your skin. I mean, like... What is the point? No matter how yellow you go, you're not gonna be white, so you won't get the privilege.
Imagine being like that bleached skin, but you still talk like it is. You know?
Or you bleach so much that you look like an albino.
Then you have to bleach your hair as well, so you must be a proper albino.
Exactly. You get the crisp brown haircut with the gold shine there. You full on albino. Don't bleach yourselves, guys. Love your black skin.
Bleach your bums for those who enjoy the anal movements.
I don't.
Listen, just putting that out there.
Now that you bring that up, I don't understand me as a black person, and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same, why my private areas are so much darker than the outside. It's so strange to me. Like this is the part
they most conceal.
The least amount of sun. But they're the darkest. But anyway.
I'm yellow bone to a certain extent, if you know what I'm saying.
When it comes to below the belt, that's when you become a chocolate ogre.
That's where you see my roots are really.
You see the roots of a black man in his pants, according to Ria Besesele. Yo.
Ah, you see now.
You chilling with the worst guys. We are hanging out on a Wednesday afternoon. It is 2:07 p.m. Yeah, man, there's been so much that's been going on in the world this week that we want to chat to you about. And as always, we'll get deep and intricate and talk about the way we feel about things.
Because,
you know, it's good to talk about our feelings and,
You
know, how we're going to change the world and be superheroes because we all stars. We are all winners, guys. So that's what we're going to do as well for you.
Well, what was that? Who was that? Was that from Bryanston?
No, it was the high school teachers who gave out prizes to everyone. You just get a prize for showing up.
Dude, yeah. You got diligence. I remember one year.
That was not me. That was Chinese somebody. That was our boy. He's the best guy in the worst guys. I'm telling you, that was John Lomani. I didn't get a prize for diligence. I've never actually got any prize for diligence whatsoever.
Bro. That's in your, but Oak's true badges. Hey,
prefect badges in school.
Like, I think it was most heartfelt for Moats.
No, let's not. I'm talking about people who got the badge and maybe went out drinking, got busted, and then lost the prefix badge. I think that's good.
I know, but you were being cha-cha-tree, dog. What were you doing?
Yeah, but I guess in high school, man, everybody, including the prefects, part of them, what makes them the prefects is that they're the cool kids of the school.
Yeah.
You know, so they're the ones who are participating in the bunking out and the debaucherous behavior because they have to firstly set an example on the suit and tie side, you know, when they're doing a speech in assembly, it has to be.
So the prefects were worse guys.
Yeah, exactly. They had the bow tie, but they were also jumping the fence late at night.
Right, but
that's
you
all
have
it
to.
Is. That's you what have you have to be to be a leader. You know, they say in any greatness, there is a terribleness, and we all need to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But that's what the worst guys is about. That's why we've got this story for you here. We've got so much to discuss. We're the sophisticated goons if you're joining us for the first time. Cause I do realize we're getting a few followers on Facebook. People are catching on to the wave. That is the worst, guys. Yeah,
if you
don't understand what's going on, we're some sophisticated goons. We're the people who are willing to say what others are not. And yeah, we could take it there without no shame.
If I had to ask you, out of the three, well, main social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, which one would you prefer?
I used to prefer Twitter until it became a bloodbath, just because, you know, it was short and concise and straight to the point, but it's very difficult to be funny there. So,
without somebody getting touched.
Yeah. Eventually you're going to get caught. Funniness is difficult to convey in a tweet. You can't convey tone, and that's a big problem. But I did like the short instant, control who I listen to or whose tweets I read. So now it's just a life social media. That's genuinely where I am. I've just posted on Facebook for the first time in a long time, but this is just because I'm flexing. You have to do a little bit
just
of
just because I'm flexing.
I've been chasing.
Why are you flexing?
I've been chasing this professional comedy shit for 2 years, and look, the struggle is fucking real. Fucking real. Not everybody can go through this shit, and I'm proud of myself, firstly, before anybody can even give me congrats, like the fact that I was willing to go through this to pursue my professional career as a comedian. And it's just starting. If you have listened to us before, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. I'll be starting on the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th of March. So I just posted this post right now saying, look, mom, I'm a professional fool. Loving the journey, and it's only just begun. And that's just the first run that I'm having at Parker's, which is in March. So that's what I use social media for. Now it's turned into a marketing tool. So it's not where I put my thoughts, you know, my genuine thoughts and feelings about.
You're running a business.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. I'm building a brand. I'm running a business.
And that's what social media has become these days. If your business is not on social media, you're already handicapped.
Yeah. You're fighting against people who've got the business in reality and their social media is lit. Because you don't forget something once you see it on social media.
Precisely.
Especially if you see it often, you're like, okay, I can't ignore this. Eventually, you'll garner some interest in the product if it's good.
Now, talking about how if your business, sorry, just before we end off on this whole thing, I just got caught up in the whole thing.
Let's go, and, dog.
Like, you see how everything is on the internet right now,
mm-hmm.
and advertising is slowly but surely heading that way. Do you think? Because I know for a fact, European countries, American states, their advertising, they are buck lit
on social media.
And on the internet, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know, as in like pop ups on people's websites and so on and so forth, and funding that. Do you think South Africa's behind, or do you think like they just are scared to break free from the norm of advertising on television, on, you know, the radio, the FM radio?
Yeah. Well, South Africans are behind, especially on the idea of podcasting as a whole. It's only starting to increase now, thanks to the likes of Cliff Central. And I think broadcasters, I mean, advertising agencies, let's say more specifically, are tentative because it's an unexplored avenue. It's a uncharted territory. But the first person to hop on
is going to reap the best rewards.
You're going to kill. You're going to reap so much because it is uncharted territory, but it's territory that's only growing. Why not be at the bottom of something that's going all the way up?
Yeah.
You know, so I do completely see why
they're hesitant.
They're hesitant, but it always takes one person with balls.
Yeah.
It always takes one person with balls, or to put a collective in with, you know, an idea into something that's never been done before. It's risky. It's always risky business, but hey, nothing worth having.
And also dealing and investing in creatives is also a big risk for business people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's not just the fact that, okay, we're looking to fund something on the internet. Cliff Central is all about being creative.
Yeah, and it's open and it's unscripted, and it's also the conversations are provocative.
You know, and they evoke so much emotion and truth in that as well.
But that's difficult to publicize. That's difficult to market. A lot of people are afraid of the truth, and that's the.
And they're willing to buy lies.
Yeah, always the lies sell the best.
Fucking hell.
So that's what makes it a little bit difficult. But we'll get into a little bit why the lies sell the best, and why we're afraid of actually hearing the truth, and what fear does to us as people. You know, how it controls our daily lives, our consciousness, what fears ourselves we may have and may be struggling with it at the moment. But before we get into that, let's just chat a little bit about what's going on in and around our world, yo.
Mean-ass Playboy in trouble again. Playboy Penny at it again. Read about it. Extra. Place grab young Fallon. Extra, extra. Read all about it. Life story of Playboy Penny. Extra, extra.
Alrighty. So the first thing that caught my eye this week, because there's always shit going down. I just saw, I think it was a couple of days ago, Trevor Noah purchased a 130 million rand penthouse in New York City.
Only 100 mil.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, dollars. Yo.
No, rand.
Oh,
shit. In rand,
God damn. Thank the Lord. No. Jesus Christ is Lord.
But that's still insane, man. That guy is obviously flown into another stratosphere. And some people on Twitter were dragging him through the mud.
Why?
Because apparently he's supposed to be a NASFAS sponsor now.
Why?
Everybody.
Why?
Like, you see, like there's hungry children, but Trevor Noah is buying a house in New York.
Every time I try to leave, something keeps pulling me back, telling me that's why he left, James.
Yeah, it's because of these idiotic comments. You got his comedy from a flash drive at somebody in Riz, and now you're like, he must pay for NASFAS.
Yeah,
he must sponsor.
You chow in the Wi-Fi, he must pay for the fucking fiber.
I can bet 90% of the people who were complaining about Trevor Noah have not paid to see him either live or bought an actual DVD.
Bro, I'm sure they never even went to go see him when he was still doing his like small gigs, busy gathering like a puppies kind of vibe.
Yeah.
When he had dreads. They don't even know him when he had dreads.
Chill out. Trevor Noah don't owe you shit.
Yeah, sis.
But I did see his most recent special, Afraid of the Dark. And contrary to popular opinion, I actually like it. I don't even want to lie to you. And I think the reason why maybe South Africans, we don't like it as much, is because it doesn't relate to us as much as it used to.
The
stand-up comedy of Trevor Noah.
Because I was just about to ask you, is this you just giving a genuine opinion, or is it still with a little bit of his balls in your mouth? You
know, no, still, I'm a Trevor Noah stan. His balls will always be in my mouth because that guy is amazing. He's an incredible, incredible act. And he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us, we tend to doubt because this is also uncharted territory for us as well.
But also,
on this level of celebrity is unprecedented. So he's fighting a very difficult battle, and I think he's winning, and I think he's winning well. A lot of people complain about, you know, he's the way he's going with his jokes, but he was speaking to an American audience. in Afraid of the Dark. And I can guarantee you, as somebody who knows how to read an audience, they loved that special. His timing was great. His approach to colonialism, it's something that we may not understand because it's not about us anymore. I think his vision has changed completely, and he's going to become a global leader and a global influencer, as opposed to just being a comedian.
Jesus, and bars.
I think that's the biggest difference in Afraid of the Dark. But I don't know how you guys feel. Most of the people that I see on my timeline are saying Afraid of the Dark is cringeworthy, and I genuinely don't believe it is.
So he's losing like the masses of South Africa to gain
the world,
the influence of the whole world.
Hell fucking yeah! It's so obvious. It's so obvious to see what he's doing, and I think it's great because ultimately, when you set out to be
the best.
You want to be the best in the world. It's not about South Africa anymore. Yes. It's about somebody influencing change in the way that he knows how, which is obviously standard.
Imagine as the worst guys, we bring extraterrestrials. Like, we're the first people to bring extraterrestrials. We the fucking men in black.
Yeah.
You know, just, yo, I'd like you to meet...
That'll be better.
Because that's his name.
Yeah.
You know, that's. I feel like that's like how you'd pronounce, you know, alien names.
Yeah. So this is.
And this is.
yeah, man. So yeah, big ups to the homie Trevor Noah. He's doing great things, man. I'll always support this guy. I really do think he's a South African gem, and we should never hate on people who do well, especially from Africa, man. Africa is behind, guys. So anybody who's pushing us forward, I am for. Fuck yeah. Let him make another 10 shitty American specials. Shitty in inverted commas. As long as they're buying it and they're listening to him, he has the roots in Africa, and he will tell the story.
You know, all of these people complaining. Last point. I also feel like he is reinvesting in his country.
Yeah.
We just don't know how. It's like one of those undercover things like Akon. And then all of a sudden, boom, Akon supplied electricity.
For 600 million people. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see where he goes with his career. But I personally think it's going in the right direction. Okay, that's it on Trevor Noah. Also, there's been a lot of xenophobia attacks of late. I don't know what it is about our country, but we are in a constant cycle of xenophobic attacks. Every couple of years, we've got to bring xenophobia back. It's like it's something that's run for too many seasons. How I Met Your Mother. This is what's happening now. We went on for far too long. You could have stopped at season 5. After 2008, we could have been like, hey, man, that was the best xenophobic season we're ever going to have. People got burnt. People got killed. We had the time of our lives, but, you know.
Dude.
We're taking it too far.
Now it's becoming clutching.
Yeah. You know, in the series.
Dude, there was, I've never been in a situation where I'm close by to where it's happening to somebody. Before, until one night, I went to Four Ways Life Hospital.
Oh, okay.
I was just passing by there randomly.
Yeah.
Way back.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, I was passing by there. And then next thing, I just see a fucking mob of Somalians, my boy.
Yeah.
So I asked one of the gents, what's up, Zion? He's like, no, we're waiting to see if our friend is okay. He got shot. I'm like,
yeah.
He's like, yeah, dog, we just come from Sloot right now. And I'm like, but you niggas is in Sloot. You must know these niggas is trying to kill you. If you're chilling in Sloot and you're Somalian,
come to the north, homie. Come to the north. There's high walls here.
You know, Deep Sloot is the north of the Kasi. You know what I'm saying?
It's the Kasi north. Yeah. But yeah, I get it.
But Jesus, I was just like, my homeboy, you didn't even get stabbed. You got shot.
I got shot.
Like, this is criminal intent,
my
boy.
I got shot for real.
No, dude. So it was quite intense.
To actually witness something like that.
And I was just like, why did it have to be a brethren of this country?
Yeah. You know what? I think it is. The problem is, as South African arrogance, man. We've got this idea in our heads that we are better than other African countries, and we have better structures, better economy, that the foreigners apparently want to come and rape and pillage. But that's not true. A lot of African countries are doing well, very much on their own, and it doesn't have anything to do with how great we are as a country. You know, some people just want to leave where they are. And maybe the grass is greener, but that's not a certainty, especially for immigrants who are opening up small little spaza shops. That's not the dream that they're chasing. I mean, maybe they're running away from things that are worse somewhere else, but why not give refuge to those who are in need, especially Africans? You know, I'm really serious about us supporting Africans.
One another.
We don't trade with Africans. We don't interact with Africans.
But we're quick to trade with the Asians.
And yeah,
with the
China's
Europeans.
All up in Africa. And it's not even touching us as much as it is Kenya or Congo, because South Africa has that arrogance. And it's obviously based in our history and our connection to Europe and the UK. But we need to let that go. We need to see Africans as our brothers. I am an African. I'm not just a South African. Because even me, I've been a victim of this a lot. And this is in my past.
It's like Africa is the United States. And South Africa is just one of the states of Africa. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, we are the capital of Africa in our minds. But in reality, that's just not true.
Hey,
there's a lot of shortfalls that we have.
I can tell you, Bafana, you know, they don't even have a reason to. If any soccer fan out there is xenophobic, y'all need to just sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
Because Bafana is not even representing.
There you were supporting Ghana at the semifinals of the FIFA World Cup.
Just bring a young Malawi to come clap us in soccer. That's all I'm saying. But anyway.
Yeah, so that's just my take on the violence, man. It's stemmed in South African arrogance. We're not as dope as we make ourselves.
Do you think these xenophobic attacks, what will it take to stop? And when do you think it'll stop?
Jesus, man, that's a question you've got to ask God. Because I don't know how it started. I don't know why. I don't know when it's ever going to go. Because you know what I think we always undermine as people is other people's ability to be ignorant and to be conservative and to not care about what is morally correct, what is just. Because morality is popular opinion, essentially. But some people are okay with having an unpopular opinion. I'm like, but this is just who I am.
Trump.
We've just always hated Zimbabweans. You know,
it's a thing.
The way it is, you know. I don't know. How can you even like a Zimbabwean or a Ugandan? Like, dog, just because he speaks like this, now we're going to have a problem with you. Everybody speaks different. There are people in our own country.
I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking about that just this morning. That how are you going to be mad at somebody and the way they talk and be frustrated when you should actually just be concerned about what they're saying, not how they're saying it.
Yeah.
If what they're saying is truthful and there's knowledge and wisdom with it, then why should it matter how he's saying it?
Hey, I've got some bars from a Nigerian haircutter before. I've gotten some wisdom from these homies. So if most of your fresh haircuts, your fade, comes from a Nigerian. Stop hating on the homies. South Africans don't know how to hit a fade like a young Nigerian.
And the barbers are the ones who should start the clap back, you know, just a young, you want me to trim you now? I trim your vein,
just fuck up the guy's trims and you guys will be free. That's what the plan is now. If you're Nigerian barber fighting for the anti-xenophobic attacks, just fuck up some niggas' trims, man.
Yeah.
I swear to God, you'll get
Because now you'll never know. They could become extreme like the fees must fall. Now, just now imagine all of them niggas rush that damn border. What are we gonna do? What are you gonna do? Are you gonna be in the front line?
Nah, I'm chilling. Nah, you know me and war, we're not friends. I'm never about that war.
Just smoke weed. I'd go up to one of them soldiers that got shot. Hey man, you look like you need some of this, man.
It's good for the pain. Trust. That's my opinion. No, war is ridiculous to me. And I don't know what we would do if we ever ended up in that situation. I'm running away, dog. I'll swim, bro. I'll swim.
Hey, man. I'll just say, Trump, look, I'm not Mexican, so please, let me
in. If you let Trevor in, you can let me in, my boy. You can let me in. All right.
Hey, but they shoot niggas that size, so...
Hey, dog, with your hands up. What are we going to do? Fuck.
This world needs, it really needs world peace.
Yeah. We need blacks to rule. That's what we need. That's what
you see, it's that mentality. It's that mentality that's going to get you shot. Dog, just put the man who's best suited for the role the role. Don't matter if he's black, Indian, white, colored.
I'll concede on that point.
All
right. Anyway, we're done with the news. Actually, there was one more thing. The Oscars. I don't know how much of a shit.
Ah, man.
About the Oscars. It's just award ceremonies in general are losing their value. I think we watch them because it's tradition. It's expected of us to watch the Oscars. You know, these are the oldest awards to you know, film. But I don't see their value in actually determining what the best movie was. I mean, I watched Moonlight, and I'll probably get a lot of criticism for this as well. But yeah, but yeah, meh, it was average, dude. It was. Whatever. And obviously I think a lot of the whole black people being represented on TV or movies has a lot to do with it, and I completely agree that there should be more representation, but I don't know if it was the best picture, man. I don't even know if it was the best movie I've seen in fucking 5 years. It was just whatever.
Anyway, maybe Jerusalem could have beaten
it. Yeah, Jerusalem, fuck. And Tsotsi, yeah. But Tsotsi did get involved with some Oscars there. Yeah, but they don't really matter to me. So, yeah, so that's pretty much it on the news side of things and what's been going on in and around our worlds. The shit that we care about, to be honest. All right. And now we... I don't know how you feel about fear itself, my boy.
Okay.
All right. Because this is something that we all experience. It's a big part of our lives. And I just wanted to know from you, do you have biggest fears? What would you say are your biggest fears in life right now?
Not succeeding in a general sense.
Okay.
I think that's also the driving force behind my work ethic. Because I think it was last night or this past Sunday when I actually, after work, I woke up at fucking... Like, what time do I go? 6 o'clock on a Sunday, boy. Yeah. I don't know who else does that. Like, I'm sure only golfers do that to get ready to tee off early in the morning. But fuck, I woke up at 6 o'clock to get ready for work at 7. I worked from 7 until 6, my boy. 7. Now, this is my 9-to-5 retail job, right? And I understand I have no grievances with my employees and the way I work right now. But it's just the whole thing that, like, I've got that. We also run the worst guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm on my personal fitness journey as well.
Yeah.
So it's juggling all of these things and trying to make sure that I can master and do the best that I can do in every single one of them. Okay. And failing is what I fear the most. And that's why...
It drives you to an extent.
Exactly. It's my motivator.
Okay. For me... Just to speak about this fear specifically, because I think this is the one that grapples most people, is the fear of failure. This is where my whole philosophy is rooted, is living your purpose, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people have difficulty in finding that purpose, but I don't think it's possible to fail if you're living your purpose. Because if it's that thing that you do best, you know, obviously do what you do best, because I mean... It's what you do best. It seems obvious, but a lot of people don't really catch on to that idea. So if you're doing what you do best and you're putting in effort, the only effort is compulsory in anything.
No, standard.
It's in, even if you have a normal job, you have to get up, you have to go and you have to do that thing, you know? So the only thing that would fail, what would lead to failure is not working at all, I believe. Unless you're living a life that is not meant for you.
Look, I also see it in different sense. Not failing as in not accomplishing what I want to accomplish in that. It'll come. It can come after 1 month, a year, 5 years, no matter what the time frame is, it'll eventually come. I will achieve whatever it is I set my mind out to achieve. Now, my thing of fear of failure is like, for example, like small stuff. As well, such as stepping on stage.
Yeah.
Yes, it's nice to come number 2 or 3 out of 30, but you set your mind out to get that number one spot.
Yeah.
So in a way, personally to you yourself, that's a failure.
It's a deterrent in terms of your motivation.
Precisely.
Yeah, I get exactly where that's coming from, because you, especially in comedy, especially when I was much younger in comedy, you know, and you don't do so well, and you're like, shit. Have I chosen the right career?
Like, you got laughs. You got laughs, but you weren't getting the kind of laughs that the comedian before you got.
Yeah. Or the laughs that I wanted.
You know what I'm saying?
The potential I see in myself is different from sometimes what
comes out. Because you already perceived how the audience was going to receive you. And if it doesn't match up, then it's almost like, I kind of failed. But you didn't.
Yeah. And you see, this is where I believe the philosophy of living your own purpose comes in. Because... how I feel now, especially when it comes to being on stage, is it doesn't matter how my
time on stage goes, because I'm at that place where I'm supposed to be doing what I want to be doing and having worked at it. So there's a whole lot of variables that I can't control. Not a lot is not in your control. And I'd say that's where my fear comes in.
That you have no control over the outcomes.
Of what happens, really. Look, anything could happen at any time that could alter your path in life.
Okay.
Whether it's a death or a change in your scenario at home, and your spouse has an impact on the direction that you want to take with your life, that could easily influence the things that you do on a daily basis. And ultimately, the decision to go into something is yours, but the other factors that are part of the cycle aren't controlled by you. There's certain things that we leave up to God. Personally, I leave them up to God. I believe, like, if we talk about the worst guys, for example, if we think about, we've got a company, it's very young, 1 in 10 companies actually survive. I still have full faith that the worst guys is going to be successful.
Yeah.
Against those odds. But my fear is that I can't control that. I could put everything into this, and maybe our timing isn't right. Maybe the world's not ready, or whatever the external forces that you can't factor in. That's my biggest fear, and ultimately, I think that leads to fear of God.
I think that was, for example, I think that was like Morgan Freeman's fear. He had the fear of, yo, I'll never become the actor I want to be. I'm sure he's been acting for cock long. He only scored his major role as a dopey, but he's lit as a dopey. You know what I'm saying? You know, playing God and all of these people.
In terms of creative careers, I've found that most people who are successful generally have one great hit. I've come to term this Usher's Confessions. So Usher, great singer, great musician, but he'll never come close to Confessions.
Yeah,
Confessions is the thing that made him, that broke him into the stratosphere. And a lot of artists, we only know from their confessions creatively. Like another example, Bryan Cranston. He was kind of known for Malcolm in the Middle. He did kind of well, but then he went on and he did Breaking Bad and played Heisenberg on Breaking Bad. And that completely changed the idea of Bryan Cranston.
Now
we know him as Heisenberg, and he'll never get a character or a role as good or as popular.
See, that word as well.
What?
I don't like that word. Never.
Which word?
Never.
Yeah.
He'll like to just to say blatantly flat out, he'll never get a role like that. And we don't know what the future holds.
So you don't, we don't know what the future holds, but let's say there's always a passing point in a creative's career where beyond that, it doesn't really matter what they do. As long as they're getting paid and they're living and they're doing well, it doesn't really matter, because he'll always be.
So you're saying there's a peak?
Yeah, there's always a peak. Always. And always a come down. Everything that goes up must
come
down.
Yes, but like sometimes there'll be a peak, or what you think may be a peak, only to find out that the person hits another peak.
Yeah, but that other peak is not what brought them into the light. You see, like,
but then surely it's still considered to be a higher peak than the one before if there's growth in a substantial amount of that. I mean, like Drake. I know Drake from I Just Wanna Be Successful.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, he's been doing so much more mild shit since then.
But what has he done? This is the big argument with Drake, is that he hasn't got a classic album. We kind of feel, we have a sense that Drake hasn't given us his best. And how do we know that? It's not a zero sum game where it's rhythmically counted, and it's just a feeling that we get. Usher could come out with a super blazing album, but Confessions will always be what I know Usher for. It'll always be the point at which he broke through the possibility of him ever becoming a nobody ever again. Because as an artist, there's always great things that you can do, but you could always fall off. But Usher, if he decided to leave music and become a humanitarian and live a low-key life, we'll still always remember Usher. And okay, we'll always remember Confessions, because that was his thing. We digressed a little bit. I'm talking a little bit about that as an artist, you work to create. That is your life work.
Yeah.
And the thing that breaks you into the stratosphere is your confessions, your Usher's confessions. But yeah, going back to this idea of fear and the fear of failure. Yeah, that's, I leave a lot up to
G.O.D.
What the universe has planned for me. Because I didn't choose my circumstances when I got here. I'm just playing the best I can with the cards I have. And hopefully I win, man. Not everybody wins.
Now, and that's another thing that people need to get... like,
talented people don't win a lot. Talented people who work hard don't win. And it's a real fact. And I guess that's why the fear is real. But now, how do we conquer that fear? How do we overcome it and say, the winning and losing is not...
you got
the end goal.
There we go. You have to find the fulfillment not in
how far it goes, but in the doing of the act.
Precisely. The process.
Yeah.
You gotta, that's one thing I also believe in. You need to have faith in the process. In combating your fears.
Yeah.
You have to have faith in the process. I was asked by my coach for update pictures, all right? And I've always been a good judge of my own body. And when somebody asks me, yeah, no, how do you feel, like where are you sitting at now? I speak confidently about my body, no matter what anybody else says. But just because all of a sudden now I'm being coached by a professional, now I think, oh, shit, maybe his opinion is a bit more better than mine.
Yeah.
But I know myself. Nobody knows my body like I know my body. They may be able to make suggestions, but nothing that I can't know myself.
Yeah.
All right? So now the feedback is what I was worried about the most.
Yeah.
And I was just like, but now I'm still 10 weeks out. Yeah. I'm still following the process step by step. If I put my faith in the process, what am I fearing?
That's also a fear I have. You know, going into this new dimension of comedy, from doing 5 to 7 minutes to doing 20 minutes, it changes things. You know, now I'm thinking about, oh, my old jokes. Should I maintain my old jokes because I know they make laugh? Or,
you know, because you got safety in that.
Yeah, I've got safety in that. But I've grown as a person. And now it's a matter of going out and doing new things and making sure I maintain the level that I've always had and exceeding it. And I don't know if that's going to work because that's uncharted territory. That belongs to, what am I doing the thing that I'm supposed to be doing? Because if I am, then it's most likely going to work out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we've concluded on that fear of failure is living your purpose is the best way to curb that fear. I don't think that fear can ever go away because like we said, not
fear
everybody
is
succeeds.
To stay.
Yeah.
It's part of the grindstone.
It's a way to work on it.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking just a little bit, just to end a little bit on a light note, just talking about, you know, silly fears, you know, stupid fears that you have.
Oh, snakes, boy. No, those things are fuck.
Okay, but that's not that. Like, okay, there's a, I am afraid of snakes. I don't know anybody who isn't, man. And it's always these nature boys that you see with them tarantulas, actually. But and snakes, prison. I am fuck scared of prison. That's genuinely like my biggest fear in life, my boy. I could never survive in there.
You know what I fear as well?
What?
Like, your partner dying while you're having sex. Like, that is the awkward, most awkward situation. What do you do? Because they'll always say it was you.
Yeah, and
it's not your fault that the pipe game is too strong. Now you're killing people. No? But listen, what do you want to say? Like you're looking at me with...
No, I agree with you.
Like, what do you do?
Yeah, the thing is, like...
No. Answer the question. What do you do if you're in a situation where you're having sex with your spouse, and then, she dies? What do you do?
I stop and I call the ambulance. I don't know what else to do, man. I wouldn't... carry on.
And how do you defend yourself in court?
Hey, man, my pipe was too dope. I don't know what you want me to say, man. I know I am from the line, bro. That's just how I roll.
Yeah, full 100 yards.
It's good for that person because I think dying while having sex is a great thing. But it's just like for you, now you have to be like, oh, fuck. I killed this bitch with my pipe.
What a plumber.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's also, buried alive, obviously.
Ooh!
Kill Bill enforced that fear in me.
No, fear factor, my boy. Fear factor.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, man, time seems to run by so quickly when we're in the studios on a Wednesday afternoon. We really hope you've had a great time chatting with us. We're just going to wrap up a little bit, tell you about what we're doing. Tomorrow evening, Thursday, I have a very special show with Charles Ash and friends. It's hosted by Charles Ash at the Barnyard Theatre in Rivonia. The show starts at 8 p.m. You can come see a great lineup. Prince, myself, Mark McLeary, Richelieu Benoit, and the headliner, Dylan Oliphant. The headliner is now Dylan Oliphant. That's the Barnyard Theatre in Rivonia tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. All right. And what else is going on? Yeah, I've spoken a little bit about the Parkers run on the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th of March. Please make your way down there. If you want to win tickets, actually, you can hit us up on Twitter. I'll be giving out five tickets. Let's say five tickets. Hit us up on Twitter. Tell us where the Worst Guys first hosted comedy shows. It was in Joburg, just putting it out there. But if you're a day one, you'll know this answer. But at which venue did the Worst Guys start hosting comedy nights? Yeah. So just answer that, and I'll be giving tickets from the 15th to the 18th. Yeah, you can somewhere choose the day. We'll have a good time, right?
Before we flex out, there is, I'm going to be at, where's this now? It is Cayenne Fit by Diamond. That's the coach that I'm with right now. Yeah. So we're hosting as Team Diamond, we are hosting a men's posing physique session. So if you want to, all you fitness junkies out there, come see your boy. Come see your boy. That is 109 Leoko Road, Sunning Hill, on the 4th of March, 8 o'clock. So wake your fucking ass up on that Saturday morning and come join us.
Yeah, the Worst Guy's doing the most as usual, man. Just come on this journey with us. Leave your fear behind. We are doing it, and we are doing it with you. All right, we're just going to wrap up with the Worst Guy Cypher, keeping it short and easy because we're being told to wrap it up.
Don't forget the fines.
The fines, oh, yeah.
Don't forget the fines.
No, I'm cool with that, all right? Let's turn this up a little bit in the headphones, yeah?
I might just have to get on my 2 feet.
I pray for the day I make it. I pray for the day I make it. I can never ever shake it. I can never ever shake it. I pray for the day I make it. I pray for the day I make it. I can never ever shake it. I can never. Yo.
Pray for the day that I make it. Pray for the day that I make it. Pray for this girl to get naked. Pray for this girl to get naked. She looking at me like she wanna do something to me. I'm a reacher to the B. I'm ripping the. I can't say that word cause I'll be getting a fine. And I'm so fine, I can't deny I'm on my grind all the time. And the beat just switched it up a bit, like Nasty D switched it up at the Mama Awards. He won the awards, but now the audience is not giving applause. And Ricky Rick is flipping out like he's just a slippery little rickety. Oh my gosh, I'm not calling out a shot like I am taking shots at Ricky Rick, cause eventually he will become one of the most.
Alright. We ran out of time, we talked too much.
Like that,
but anyway, we love you, y'all. Here's my bar. We're gonna make it. We out. CliffCentral.com